The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
America, bonjour, hi, Canada, Hugh Hewitt, live inside the Beltway. Election night last night in Nevada saw Adam Laxalt win easily, defeating Sam Brown by 20 points. And we knew that Adam was going to win. Sam Brown's a good man, but Adam is going to be the nominee who becomes the senator from Nevada. And that could be our 51st or our 52nd senator, depending on how bad inflation gets. It's so bad. What I was struck by, though, is they don't know how high this can go. Inflation could take us back to 1979 levels. Now, it takes a long way from 0% prime to a 14% prime where you're paying 17.5% to buy a house. So the message at the beginning of the news is inflation is crushing people. And you know it better than I do. Fetching Mrs. Hewitt has to go to Costco today, and I'm kind of preparing myself for a shock. She's heading to the northern boundary, of which I may or may not go to on Friday because of Generalissimo. He failed to turn on the lights at the Northern Boundary studio. And so I don't know if I'm going with her, but I know that the car will be full of Costco stuff. And I don't even want to look at the price tag. And I know that families that prepare to go on a vacation can't go on a vacation. And that's all a backdrop to Joe Biden. I'm going to do the news after that. I just got to get to Joe Biden. His answer, what you have to do with this kind of inflation is hike the prime a lot, quickly. Crack the back of inflation by stopping people from borrowing unless they really can afford to borrow. But President Biden gave an astonishing speech yesterday. Cut number 13, Joe Biden at the AFL-CIO.
What is this? Under my plan for the economy, we made extraordinary progress. And we put America in a position to tackle a worldwide problem is worse everywhere but here, inflation.
Do you think it's worse everywhere than here? Do you even care what it is? It's terrible here, and it's Joe Biden inflation. Right, you remember this, cut number 11. This is Joe Biden in this 8-track tape in his mind, cut number 11.
Just remember those long lines of cars stretching miles back waiting for just a box of food to be put back in their trunk? It wasn't just poor folk. It was working class folks, middle class folks. A lot of pretty nice cars in those lines.
Yeah, the idea that that people were in food lines under Donald Trump, that's just crazy. That's like when Donald Trump swore on a Bible that Muslims had demonstrated in Newark, New Jersey. On 9/11. It didn't happen, but he believed it. Joe Biden believes he saw food lines somewhere and that people in nice cars were getting food lines under Donald Trump. That's just an invention, and he's stuck on it. Then he mumbles and shouts something about Detroit. Cut number 9.
Well, I remember one day walked in on a joke and said, Joe, fix Detroit. I said, okay, no problem. No, you think I'm kidding? You think I'm kidding? What I didn't realize, I thought I knew a lot about the cities.
Did you know what? I have no idea what he's talking about there, but I do know what he's talking about this. Gas prices, cut number 7.
Inflation. It's sapping the strength of a lot of families. I grew up in a household not far from here, Claymont and Wilmington, where the price of a gallon of gasoline went up was a conversation at the dinner table. It mattered. It mattered to my working family. It mattered the price of food went up.
Has anybody not heard that before? Honestly, it's an 8-track tape. Cut number 8.
Better paying jobs. For better jobs for them and their families. It's been a long time since that's happened in this country. But it's happening now.
Yeah, it was called 2019 before COVID under President Trump. Now, here is the clincher. Here is the clincher. Cut number 3 of Joe Biden yesterday.
We're making Buy American a reality, not just a slogan. I award no contracts from the federal government because they can prove they bought it in America. And by the way, Republicans like to portray me as some kind of big spender. We have spent a lot of money. But let's compare the facts. Under my predecessor, the deficit exploded, rising every single year, and all the benefit going to the top 1%, basically. Under my plan, last year, we cut the deficit by $300.
There it is. There's the whisper. Now, in fact, everyone knows that under COVID, deficits went up as we had to spray the country down with money. And that was fine in 2020. 2021, we did not need to spend $4 trillion because we had reopened except for a few blue cities. Here is the key line from Joe Biden yesterday, cut number 4.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
Play it again, please. Cut number 4.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
Cut number 4.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
I want that on the permanent machine. We're not allowed to talk about the reckless spending. The president, do you know he's proposing more reckless spending as we speak? Not the school safety. I don't mind that. They should cut something that we don't need. They are proposing more reckless spending because your health care premiums are about to go through the roof because of Obamacare and the postponed time bomb of Obamacare. Happens in October. Yesterday, Texas 34 flipped from a Democratic distance for 10 years to a Republican seat. Nancy Mace won. That's good. Adam Laxalt won. You could not save Tom Rice with 1,000 life jackets because the guy voted for the bizarre impeachment after 1-6. And nobody believes in that except the 10 Republicans who voted for it. It's a partisan move. Here's what's coming. A huge red wave. Because inflation is crushing every family and every individual, regardless of race, color, political affiliation, gender, you name it, religion, creed, you're getting crushed by inflation. And Joe Biden just yelled at you. He doesn't want to hear about it anymore. He does not want to hear you talk about inflation. You will be put in timeout. If Joe Biden will yell at you if you bring up Biden inflation. Hashtag Biden inflation is the biggest hashtag going. Stay tuned, America. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Let me run through the news for you this morning. The House finally passed the bill extending security protection to the Supreme Court justices' families. That passed the Senate after the leak and the first threats began to arrive at the justices' door. Nancy Pelosi and the House Democrats stopped their blockade of protecting the justices yesterday after the attempted assassination of Justice Kavanaugh last week. What a shame. What an absolute calamity for the House that they are under the control of this out of touch and out of control hack partisan Nancy Pelosi. She's going to lose her majority for the second time. She may be the least popular person in America, and she didn't want the justices protected. And her party came to her and said, we're going to get crushed if you don't. We almost lost a justice. It's never happened in the history of the United States that there's been a murder of a Supreme Court justice by an individual that he knew in a case that went wrong by a litigant when he was riding circuit like 200 years ago. I don't remember the details of it. No one's ever attempted to assassinate a Supreme Court justice. And that didn't have to happen if they had passed the security bill. And I would arrest every one of those people who are violating the federal law in front of a justice house. They're trying to intimidate the justices into not voting to reverse Roe and Casey, which they should do and may do today at 10 o'clock. Opinions come down again today. It's a decision day at the court. And now they've got more protection. Maybe they'll slow down. I don't know. Wholesale prices rose again in May. The producer price index doubled the April increase. It was 0.8% at the producer price level. So you got to figure, okay, the producers are paying 0.8% more month over month. That's, you do the math, 12 times 8. It's hard for you Steelers fans, but that's double digits. That's for the producers. Then they have to sell it to you and they have to make a profit. So we are actually effectively, I think, at 12% inflation for customers, maybe more. Leader McConnell announces his backing for what appears to be a done deal on school safety and looks into the juvenile records of people buying guns 18 to 20. And that makes sense to me. Joe Biden's going to Saudi Arabia and he's going to hug the prince. Fine. That's real politique. It's driving the left crazy. But you know what? We got to take care of Americans. And Joe Biden swore he'd never do what he's about to do because he can't remember what he swore he wouldn't do, but he's going. Poll out. Most Americans, not a surprise, oppose boys playing in girls' sports, even if they have transitioned from boy to girl. It is a healthy majority. Democrats are going to get crushed on this one as well. People have great compassion for, sympathy for people who are going through gender dysphoria, I think it's called. I think generally people do not want surgery performed on minors. I'm not even a big fan of hormone replacement. Therapy is good, but you know, if you're under 18, we don't let you do a lot of things. And one of those, I think, ought to be to have, even if your parents are all in, I think you ought to not be allowed to have surgery. And it turns out, even if you do have surgery and hormone blockers and you're in college, Americans don't want genetic boys competing against genetic girls in high school, and they don't want genetic young men competing against genetic women in college. The mortgage application index fell to its lowest level in 22 years. Refinances are just dead. As I told you in the first segment, Andrew and Todd are doing lots of purchase loans. People are buying houses, but they're putting 20 and 30 and 40% down. They're trying to get the rate as low as possible. And they know that these are five-year loans. They're going to refinance once Democrats get thrown out. Democrats bring inflation and unaffordable housing. They're going to get thrown out. As last night, Texas 34. Wow. Wow. Coinbase and crypto. Oh, my gosh. I warned you. It's a nightmare, and it's going to get worse. Caterpillar has left Illinois. They're moving to Texas. What a surprise. If you're in a blue state, you're not going to have any jobs either because everyone who's in the corporate suite knows they can't pay the taxes of Illinois, California, or Connecticut. They're leaving. Republicans announced their aim to combat inflation with tax and trade policies. That's what we always do. You know, the left has been busy during this inflationary period crushing families. They had a lawsuit to name an elephant happy, a legal person. New York's highest court said no, elephants aren't people. That's what Democrats spend their time doing. Meanwhile, Britain is going to blow China out of its domestic nuclear industry. That's good. And if there's a government in Israel, no one really knows what it is. I'm coming right back. Robert O'Brien was on with Larry Kudlow yesterday talking about big tech. I want you to hear this. The former national security advisor and Team Kudlow got together to talk about this yesterday. Stay tuned, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
Oh, you bet they're changing your life. They're changing your life every day you stop at a gas station. Joe Biden's inflation is leading to the Joe Biden recession, which is going to be caused by the Joe Biden interest rates. And then the Joe Biden losses in November will set the ship straight. Cannot wait for November. Meanwhile, Democrats are trying to screw up big tech. Now, we need some reforms in big tech, some protection of data. We need national security cooperation from big tech. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien went on Larry Kudlow's show on Fox Business yesterday talking about Amy Klobuchar's bill. Amy Klobuchar's bill is really bad because, once again, if you let Democrats run anything, they will run it into the ground. Cut number 26.
Well, look, the one thing standing in the way of Chinese domination of the world and Chinese Communist Party domination of the world is the American private sector. And the big one of the big parts of that is tech. And so all you have to do is look at what Elon Musk did with Starlink at the outset of the Ukraine war, keeping Ukraine connected, what YouTube did in getting Zelensky's speeches out to the Russians. And we see why the Chinese don't like it. And they've said that they're going to surpass American tech. They're going to scale their companies. They're going to put trillions of dollars into it. They've been public about it. So they've got this China 2025 policy to destroy America's tech sector. And now we've got these bills out to help them do it. It's pretty amazing. We want to give them access to our algorithms, access to our data. We should be banning Chinese companies and taking action like India did against Chinese big tech. And instead, we're coming after the American companies. And the only other winner other than the CCP is Amy Klobuchar in her presidential campaign in 2024. I saw that Hillary Clinton was tweeting today and getting behind her bill. So why any Republicans would be behind this anti-business approach is confounding. So that's why you and John Ratcliffe, our great former director of national intelligence, Chris Miller, our former acting secretary of defense, who is just a terrific guy, Allison Hooker, who ran Asia at the NSC, and many others, have signed this letter to try and stop this legislation from taking place.
Yeah, I mean,
this is the civilian equivalent, Larry, of what Obama did to the Navy and what Biden's trying to do to the Navy, where they cut 20 or 30 Navy ships this year. At the same time, China's building more and trying to invade Taiwan. I mean, this is the civilian equivalent of what we're doing in the Navy. It makes no sense.
Continue on with this. Cut number 27.
Well, she's going to allow these other tech companies to come in and get access to all the data that the existing tech companies have. So she's basically saying, if you're a tech company and you've developed data, or you've developed an algorithm or technology, you've got to share it across the board. And that includes for Russian companies, for Chinese companies. I mean, I don't see any reason why the North Koreans and Iranians wouldn't come ask for the data as well. It can't be fixed. They've tried to fix it. And I understand why conservatives are mad at big tech. I'm mad at big tech. The censorship of conservative voices and the left-leaning nature of big tech has not been good for the country. But nothing in these bills is going to put President Trump back on Twitter. It's not going to take care of any of the censorship. It's just going to break up these companies that are doing the research on AI and 5G and quantum computing. And we won't have those companies, and the Chinese will. And it's a real shame.
The most important thing to do about big tech is to oblige them to cooperate with the Department of Justice, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and the Department of Defense whenever necessary. That's what we need. We need a partnership between big tech and America's national security. We don't need to break up big tech. We certainly don't need to make big tech's algorithms and science available to the Chinese Communist Party. Cut number 28.
Absolutely. That's what the Indians did. The Indians banned 400 apps. We couldn't even ban TikTok. But listen, the market, as you and I both know, and this is as Reagan Republicans and Trump Republicans, we know the market takes care of things. So you look at Elon Musk buying Twitter. I hear Truth Social, the president, former president's platform is doing quite well. And look at Netflix. Investors have pummeled Netflix because they want Netflix to spend their hundreds of millions of dollars on fun programming and movies like Top Gun. They don't want to give it to the Obamas and Sussexes for their woke documentaries. And so Netflix has taken a 75% hit in their stock. So, you know, what's interesting is the backlash in the market is actually working. We can have some targeted government, reaction to the censorship. But let's not kill our tech companies that are doing all the great research for this country and keeping us ahead of the Chinese and hand that over to Beijing. That's a bad idea.
All right. Now, that was some common sense from National Security Robert O'Brien, former Trump National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien, to Larry Kudlow. Let me tell you that for every time a Republican says something that makes sense, we have a Democrat. We have five Democrats saying something incredibly dumb. Here's Jennifer Granholm. The Secretary of Energy to Joe Biden, Secretary of Energy, the Secretary of Making Gas Prices Go Down, to Jennifer Granholm. Cut number 24.
You filled up your EV by charging, and you filled up your gas tank with gasoline, and you have the same size tank, you would save $60 per fill up by going electric rather than using gasoline. So it's a very compelling case. But again, to your point, we want to bring down the price at the point of purchase.
All right. So the Biden administration answer to your problem at the gas pump is to buy an electric car that you can't afford. It is really genuinely stupid. Genuinely stupid. Even if you don't make long trips, even if you need to be able to go out on the road, I don't know what the EV does. I don't own an EV. I'm not going to buy it until they've got the infrastructure put in there. It's a toy. I don't have toys. I'm grown up. A lot of green people like to have their toy. Debbie Stabenow, I want people in Michigan listening in Detroit who are suffering under $5 or $6 a gallon gas. Your senator said this, cut number 20.
Say that to respond to one of our oil and gas enthusiastic Republican senators who just said something about buying an electric vehicle. I got to tell you, we have great new Michigan electric vehicles. My Chevy Bolt is terrific, made at the Lake Orion plant in Michigan, affordable union labor, and I'm so proud to have an opportunity to be able to support Michigan workers. What he was doing and others are doing is trying to divert us from the fact that we have gas gouging at the pump and have had it for some time.
All right, stop. If anyone believes that, you're stupid. If you think that gas gouging is why we have an energy crisis, you are officially stupid. We are not producing enough oil and gas in America. We had energy security under President Trump. We were a net exporter of energy. We are a net importer right now. His first day in office, he killed the Keystone Pipeline. He signaled to the market. They said, oh, look at all these leases that people aren't doing. They pulled back leases in the Gulf of Mexico where they could have been exploited easily, pulled them back in Alaska, making it impossible to get the permits that you need, the endangered species permits, the waters of the United States permits. They knew have a new environmental impact statement requirement for climate change. It is impossible to get those leases. Joe Biden doesn't want you to know it, but the reason energy is going up everywhere in the world is that the United States got out of the energy business because of their crazy green agenda. And John Kerry said the quiet part out loud yesterday. The climate czar went to USC, not surprisingly, USC. USC hosted John Kerry. So if you're giving money to USC, you're paying for this. Cut number 18.
And energy security worry is driving a lot of the thoughts now about, oh, we need more drilling of gas. We need more drilling of this. We need to go back to coal. No, we don't. We absolutely don't. And we have to prevent a false narrative from entering into this or, again, pun intended, we are cooked.
We don't need more oil. John Kerry speaking for Joe Biden, who's got an 8-track tape in his head. He went on, John Kerry, to make a bold prediction. Cut number 19.
President Biden has made a very significant commitment for the United States to be, first of all, power sector carbon free by 2035. By 2035, to only be producing electric vehicles in the United States, which General Motors and Ford and others manufacturers had bought into. And they're now spending hundreds of millions of dollars to retool their plants in order to produce those vehicles.
That's not possible, by the way, what he just said. It's stupid. It's just not possible. And by the way, we're not going to stop building gas-powered cars because people want them and because we can drive them efficiently and without. I mean, it's just pie in the sky. By the way, did you hear him declare for nuclear power? Because unless you declare for nuclear power again and again and again, you're not serious. Because all the electricity that he wants for his electric car fleet that he imagines and dreams about every night, it's not there because we're not building nuclear power. National Economic Council Deputy Director Bharat Ramamurthy went on Bloomberg yesterday. They always say the quiet part out loud when they don't think anyone's watching, but I'm always watching. Cut number 17.
If you have a 401k out there, or if you're a retiree on a fixed income, it's pretty rocky right now, given what we're seeing with the inflation eating into your returns, as well as the markets down. What do you tell those people?
Look, the president is deeply sympathetic to that. His number one priority right now is tackling inflation. He's made that clear for several weeks, several months for now. But I think what we need to take a step back and look at is that American households as a whole are doing very, very well. If you look at where we were before the pandemic and where we are right now.
Don't believe your bank balance. Don't believe your budget. Don't believe that you're running up stuff on the credit card. Believe the Biden White House. You're doing very well right now. Just pay no attention to the price at the pump or the man behind the curtain. Don't worry about that. We're just not going to trust them. Brian Deas went on CNN with, no, wait, I don't want to play that one. I want to play Steve Leisman on CNBC. Just a professional looking at the numbers. Cut number 16.
Steve Leisman is here. He's got more details on this. Steve, you've been digging through it. What jumps out at you?
That we're not getting any help on the goods sector. Goods inflation, the producer level up 1.4%, services up 0.4%. The whole idea of inflation eventually getting back under control is that you would have this switch from goods inflation moderating over into the service sector, and that is not happening. That's a big story right there.
It's not happening. We are not beating inflation because we continue to spend too much money because Joe Biden will not cut taxes, cut spending, and will not embrace energy production. It's all on Biden. It's Biden's fault. It is simply Biden's fault. But I heard what the president said. I'm not allowed to say that. Cut number, what is it? Where does he say I can't talk about this? He yells at me. Cut number, what cut is it when he yells at me?
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
You're changing people's lives. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-1172. Welcome back, America. Morning glory to you and bonjour hi to Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway. I just wanted to put that disclaimer and warning label on the hour. Mike Gallagher, congressman from Wisconsin, may not have heard it. I just want to make sure he knows the orders from the president. Cut number four again, please.
I don't want to hear any more of these lies about reckless spending. We're changing people's lives.
So, Congressman Gallagher, you just can't, you just got to stop.
The lies. It's all about the lies. Hugh, let me ask you this. Does the president actually believe what he's saying? Or does he believe in his cynical strategy that just calling this a lie or blaming Putin or blaming the Republicans or coming up with a new social media slogan like Ultra MAGA is going to have any impact at all? And if so, who's advising him that this is a good strategy? The price at the pump doesn't lie. It's not a made up fantasy. I mean, it impacts every working family in America every single day. The president has shown no humility, no willingness to change course, no willingness to engage with basic economic reality. And until he does, it's going to get worse for him politically. What we saw in Texas last night is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we're going to see a historic red wave in November because Americans are fed up with the president's lies.
Now, Mike Gallagher, my own view is he may not know because he lives inside the Beltway and he watches MSNBC. And on MSNBC, the 1-6 pseudo committee absorbs all their time and they are avoiding assiduously focusing on the fact that every article in the grocery store, I forget the price at the pump. They can't ignore that. Every American fills up their tank. They know what's happened under Joe Biden. But if you go to the grocery store, everything is wrapped in plastic and everything has been delivered by a truck. Literally everything is in plastic or a plastic container and it's been delivered by a truck. Of course it costs more. So what the Democrats did with their $4 trillion fuel on the Barbie last year, they don't want it. They want to blame Putin. But Americans know better, Congressman. Will you tell me in the first district of Wisconsin, do they know better?
They definitely know better. Ironically, if you were going to blame a foreign country, and you can't, they have to look in the mirror and blame themselves for their war on domestic energy production, as well as their sort of radical progressive agenda, their Green New Deal fantasies. Really, I think there's two albatrosses around the neck of the Democratic Party right now. One is the cult of climate change, and the other is the diversity, inclusion, and equity agenda. And those two things infuse every policy proposal. We're seeing it in the military. The Secretary of the Navy just released an op-ed talking about how his top priority is climate change for his trip to the Pacific. Yeah.
What?
It's
I thought he was a decent sec nav.
That's he certainly has Navy experience, but he is, like every Democratic appointee, prioritizing the wrong things. And more to the point, some of our flag officers have uncritically parroted very radical diversity, inclusion, and equity narratives that are not based on any facts, that are based on bad social science, and then are indeed infusing racial essentialism into a military, which by design and by necessity must be colorblind. This is very damaging, particularly at a time when we're starting to see a recruitment crisis emerge, and when we're losing thousands of people because of controversies over the vaccine mandate. So, a long way of saying the leftward turn of the Democratic Party is even infecting the military right now. And it's very, very, very troubling right now. And I don't think your average American buys what the Biden administration is selling right now. They're about to make this worse potentially by potentially rolling back the Section 301 tariffs as a way to fight inflation. The 301 tariffs did not cause the current inflation. They were in place for 3 years, and we didn't have massive inflation like we're seeing right now. This will be a gift to China, and we will get nothing in return. It makes absolutely no sense.
This is one of those rare times when the common sense, obvious thing to do, produce more energy, is the answer. But John Kerry went to USC yesterday, and I actually think John Kerry and Susan Rice are running the administration. I don't think the president is. And John Kerry said two things I want you to listen to. Cut number 18.
Energy security worry is driving a lot of the thoughts now about, oh, we need more drilling of gas. We need more drilling of this. We need to go back to coal. No, we don't. We absolutely don't. And we have to prevent a false narrative from entering into this or, again, pun intended, we are cooked.
Cut number 19, John Kerry.
President Biden has made a very significant commitment for the United States to be, first of all, power sector carbon free by 2035. By 2035, to only be producing electric vehicles in the United States, which General Motors and Ford and others manufacturers have bought into. And they're now spending hundreds of millions of dollars to retool their plants in order to produce those vehicles.
Nothing, Mike Gallagher, congressman from Wisconsin's first, nothing is going to matter to the cult of climate. But facts need not apply.
And the high priest, John Kerry, is totally divorced from reality. I guess this worldview makes sense if you just live in Twitter universe or you govern for a Twitter audience, as the Biden administration and Ron Klain in particular seems to do. But again, this just hurts working class Americans. It actually hurts the developed world. Everything we do in America obviously has a ripple effect around the globe. And think about what the president's allies on Capitol Hill are proposing right now. Senator Wyden was out there saying we need a 21% surtax on oil profits to blunt inflation. So the idea is that confiscating profits from suppliers is going to increase supply somehow. So if I'm getting this right, the plan to fight inflation is to increase deficit spending, seize profits from domestic suppliers, and then go hat in hand to Saudi Arabia, begging them to increase production and waive a variety of gasoline taxes and otherwise subsidize consumption. There are truly no words for this economic stupidity and malpractice. And again, the American people are going to speak forcefully in November. It's up to us, however, in the Republican Party, not only to pull the emergency brake on this reckless spending, this bad policy, but also to put forward a proactive agenda of our own, not only in areas where there's broad agreement like national security, investing in hard power and jettisoning all this woke progressive nonsense in that's infecting DOD, but also taking the fight to the Democrats on environmental issues. Right. What is our plan for turbocharging nuclear microreactor innovation in this country? What is our plan for a conservative version of this China bill as talks potentially break down in the conference between the House and the Senate? I think that's a huge opportunity for us to do stimulate chip production the right way, scrutinize outbound investments into China, as well as restructure our entire foreign assistance, foreign military sales package to Taiwan to defend them in the near term. We need to start doing that work now. Thankfully, Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy is putting together all these task forces. He gets that. So we need to not only do aggressive oversight of the Biden administration and hold people accountable when we win back the House, we need to put forward a proactive, conservative, unifying agenda of our own.
I haven't talked to the leader about this yet. I hope he will include in the platform that the Armed Services Committee will undertake an investigation into the collapse of Afghanistan. I went this week to the rough cut showing of a documentary by Save Our Allies to Tim Kennedy's book party. And it was it when you see the film, it's only the rough cut's 40 minutes, it'll go up to an hour, of what we didn't do and what we did do to the people of Afghanistan. You just get angry again, as angry as last August. Will there be a select committee to investigate the collapse in Afghanistan and the horrors that followed and the Americans, the allies, the SIV holders, the SIV eligible that we left behind?
Yes, there will be. And I think this gets at something very important. I think what drives the American people crazy, at least in my neck of the woods in Northeast Wisconsin, is this sense that massive failures like this happen and no one is ever held accountable. I mean, we had general officers at the highest level telling us that this was a logistical success. We had deception after deception from the White House, and nobody has been held accountable. And if we don't hold people accountable, if we don't have lessons learned from this fiasco, then we're doomed to repeat that in the future. Or look at even more minor fiascos in the Defense Department, the failure of our joint AI center. Where are the lessons learned on that as they try and revamp the center and retool it? There's so many areas where there's not basic accountability for the Defense Department right now. And I think that's what makes people lose faith in the process. And that's where we really have to be aggressive in doing oversight. We have a great set of Republicans on the committee. Obviously, you know, people with great experience like Mike Waltz. Mike Rogers, our leader on the committee, has set the direction. He has an aggressive forward-leaning plan on all these areas. He was very outspoken last year in Afghanistan, gave a great speech at Heritage on this. So we will be ready to go, and we have to start holding people accountable for manifest failures.
Follow Mike Gallagher on Twitter at Rep Gallagher. Follow me to the next hour. Thank you very much, Congressman. I'll talk to you again next week. Don't go anywhere, America. 1-800-520-1234 connects you to me. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Morning, glory, America. Bonjour, hi, Canada. I'm Hugh Hewitt, joined by United States Senator Tom Cotton. I just wanted to warn him, we can't talk about the inflation numbers, Senator. Joe Biden shut us down yesterday. I'm afraid the FCC will pull my license if we bring up the producer price index going up 0.8% month over month, inflation rolling around at 8.6% year over year. We're just not, I'm shut down. I don't know what to do.
Well, Hugh, Joe Biden was right yesterday that he's changed people's lives. $5 a gallon gas, kids trying to change their gender in school, crime surging in our streets. Yeah, he's changed a lot of Americans' life, Hugh.
Well, Senator Cotton, last night the Republicans won in Texas 34, taking a Democrat seat that hadn't gone for us since 2010 in a heavily Latino district. What do you see happen? I know you're out campaigning for Republicans. I don't know if you have a PAC or not that you're helping people with. Tell us if you do, and where have you been going, and what have you been hearing?
Yeah, well, one place where I've campaigned for you already was in Nevada for Adam Laxalt last summer, and I was very pleased to see Adam win a big victory, and I'm confident that we're going to win back the Nevada Senate seat later this year. Kathy Cortez Masto has voted in lockstep with Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer all year long. The victory in South Texas in a special election was also especially exciting. It continues the surge that we've seen in Latino voting for Republicans, because again, Latinos don't want to pay $5 a gallon for their gas. They don't want to pay an extra $25 every week at the grocery store. They're worried about crime in their streets, and they're worried about the quality of their kids' education. So I think you're beginning to see what will be a massive, massive repudiation of the Democrats later this year.
Now, Senator, I go out, and I was out with the chairman of our company yesterday, and we were talking about the new poll on Americans do not want boys to compete in girls' sports if they're genetically designed as boys. They don't want them to transition. And I told him, I don't talk about that on the air because it makes parents upset, and they turn it off. They will not listen to those stories. I don't take a position. I have great sympathy for anyone going through a difficult time with their child. But what do your campaign appearances tell you about boys playing girls sports and young men playing young women's sports?
Well, Hugh, what most of our campaigns think, what most Americans see, if you saw that poll, that they think it's just nonsense. Of course, we want to be respectful and supportive of all people and their families. But at the same time, we can't let girls sports be compromised by letting people who are biologically male, you know, they have testosterone, they're taller, they're bigger, they have longer arms, they have big hands and big feet, which is just a lot of sports, and they have the kind of rambunctiousness that you hear in the background.
They got big voices. I know. I love that. I love when that happens. It is what makes the Cotton appearances on the Hugh Hewitt Show so well. So, Senator Cotton, I want to get to the Afghanistan movie I saw in just a second about the collapse in Afghanistan. But before that, yesterday, John Kerry said this. He was at USC, which is not exactly the font of all learning. But John Kerry said this, cut number 18.
An energy security worry is driving a lot of the thoughts now about, oh, we need more drilling of gas. We need more drilling of this. We need to go back to coal. No, we don't. We absolutely don't. And we have to prevent a false narrative from entering into this or, again, pun intended, we are cooked.
This is a cult, Senator Cotton. This is nuts. Americans are crushed by gas prices, and the Defense Production Act is being used for baby formula and solar panels, but not for gasoline production. To what do you say to John Kerry, former Secretary of State and now, quote, climate cult czar?
Well, Hugh, the Democrats care more about ideology than they care about your family's budget. That kind of thinking is what got us $5 a gallon gas. And in some states out west, it's almost $10 a gallon gas. Joe Biden wants to use the Defense Production Act, as you said, to produce more solar panels. Well, you know what? Solar panels aren't going to do much to help people when they're paying $5 a gallon for gas It's not, also not going to do much for our military, not going to do much for our efforts to support the military in Ukraine. Joe Biden's priorities reflect the diluted ideology of the far left in America today that is detached from your family's concerns and detached from reality.
Now, I believe Joe O'Dea will be nominated in Colorado. I believe Herschel Walker will be the winner in Georgia, but the attacks on both of them have become daily. And Democrats are contributing to their opponents in Colorado and other places in order to nominate fringe candidates. Are you out there yet for Herschel? Have you been up to New Hampshire yet for the state senator who's going to win, Chuck, who's going to win up there? Are you out there in those states working for people?
I've been on the campaign trail a lot already, Hugh, and I'll be on the campaign trail a lot more in some of these states once we are through the summer legislative session and we're past our primaries. For instance, I expect to be back in Nevada for Adam Laxalt. I do expect to campaign with Herschel Walker down in Georgia. Some of our other great nominees like Mehmet Oz in Pennsylvania or J.D. Vance in Ohio, Ron Johnson in Wisconsin is probably the only incumbent we have that's been a really tough race this year, and I'll be working to help Ron as well. If folks want to learn more about that or pitch in, they can go to my Political Action Committee Republican Majority Fund, which is how I support these efforts. Because it's going to be a big effort. I mean, the Democrats are not just going to roll over and take their lumps this fall. They're going to do everything they can to at least try to hold on to the Senate. And the Senate is on the knife's edge. It's 50-50. It has been for 18 months. So we need everyone to do everything they can to make sure that we take back that majority in November.
RepublicanMajorityFund.com, RepublicanMajorityFund.com, Senator?
They can just search Tom Cotton and Republican Majority Fund, and they can learn all about what I've been up to and what I'm going to be doing.
All right. Now, Senator, I saw the first cut of an Afghan documentary, a documentary about Save Our Allies, about the effort to get people out by retired special force operators during the collapse last year. Made me angry at Joe Biden all over again. And I listened to Tim Kennedy talk about his new book, Scars and Stripes, and about how they went out with special operators to get people beyond the wire. Will there, if the Republicans get the Senate, will there be a look, a serious look at what went wrong in Afghanistan?
Yeah, Hugh, I can assure you there will be that. This administration has been trying to send the debacle in Afghanistan down the memory hole, especially the failures you had at the State Department in terms of planning for the evacuation. But an Armed Services Committee will also be checking it out from the Department of Defense standpoint.
Now, in terms of that, that would require the Armed Services Committee or a select committee? Because I am genuinely convinced Americans are still going to, if they see it in ads, they're going to vote against Democrats because of what happened. And they're not going to buy this was happening because of Donald Trump. They're not going to buy that. They're going to buy it with Joe Biden's plan, his hard deadline. So does the investigation have to go to a select committee or does it go to Armed Services?
Hugh, I think that's something that we'll handle on Armed Services Committee. Again, the real malfeasance was in Joe Biden's White House and the State Department. The State Department is the lead agency for any kind of non-combatant evacuation. They were really asleep at the switch. Obviously, the Department of Defense could have done things differently and probably better in some cases, but we'll be looking into that. And I think what you see right now with $5 a gallon gas, was kind of foretold by the debacle in Afghanistan. It's the same incompetence. It's the same people that were in charge in Afghanistan that are in charge of our economic policy.
And it's not going to change. Okay, last question, Senator, because obviously you've got to go tame the wilds. When we look at the defense budget and 5%, I mean 8.6% inflation, that's hitting every combatant commander. That's hitting every level down. Is defense spending going to increase at least so we don't get a rolling cut in defense preparedness?
Well, Hugh, you know, Jimmy Carter, after the Shah fell in Iran in 1979, and Russia invaded Afghanistan, was mugged by reality. So the 1980 defense budget was actually a little bit better than his previous three budgets. What we have with Joe Biden in the war in Ukraine and the collapse of Afghanistan is a president who is mugged by reality but refuses to press charges.
Huh?
The budget he submitted doesn't even keep up with his own inflation. So when you look at it, and you can break it down into consumer price inflation for all of the personnel costs we have in the military, and production and manufacturing inflation for all of those kinds of activities, we probably need to get to almost $800 billion just to keep up with inflation to have the kind of real growth we need at, say, 3 to 5%, which most experts on both sides agree is what we need to keep pace with the threats, that probably needs to be closer to $840 and $850 billion. Now, this morning, when we start the annual drafting of the defense bill in the Armed Services Committee, we're going to significantly increase Biden's budget proposal, but I still don't think we're going to get to the point where it needs to be.
Will it get done? That we have less than a minute. Will it get done? Or because the continuing resolution is screwing everything up. I got told that by a Pentagon expert 2 days ago. Will it be a continuing resolution, or will you actually get a budget?
Hugh, I think we're destined for a continuing resolution this fall. I'm hopeful, though, that after the election, the Democrats will be licking their wounds so badly that they simply want to tie a bow on this year's work, and that we can get a full year spending bill for the Department of Defense so they can have the kind of certainty they need.
Senator Tom Cotton, thank you. Go Google Republican Victory Fund and Tom Cotton to figure out how to help candidates like Adam Laxalt all across the country. Don't go anywhere, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.